Romans 7, 17. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I will not, that I do. Now, if I do that which that I will not, right, Paul said, it's no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Now, a law means something that the outcome is predictable. Every time I try to do this, this is the outcome. So a law means something. Once a certain condition is fulfilled, the outcome is predictable and precise. So if I have a glass of water here and it falls off, right, you know that at a certain time, right, it will hit the ground because a law is at work. If it hangs in the air, then you look back and say, well, maybe the angels are really doing more, all right, going on. So that means you are expecting, all right, this to happen. So Paul got to that point where he said there was a law, that here was it, when I will do good, all right, evil is present with me. He said, for I delight in the law of God after my inward man. But then I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and then bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me from the body of death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with my mind, or with the mind, I serve the law of God. With the mind, I serve the law of God. And what that means, that word serve there is a strong word. He said, with the mind, I have become a bond slave to the law of God. A bond slave was a type of slave, all right, in the nation of Israel, that after 7 years of working as a slave, you were released from your master and you could go free. But then you're called now decide by your own self that you don't want freedom. And what that means is you become a person in bondage now to slavery. In other words, you know, the master now, whatever the master thinks and desires is what you carry out. It's like you have surrendered your own will, all right, completely, and you are living out the life of your master. And so Paul said, I went from a place where, right, a law was always at work, to a place where I am now even in bondage, all right, in obedience to God. It's almost like I'm bound here. Obedience in what, you know, just emanates from my own being now. And he said, it is with my mind I was able to get to that point. He said, but if I go back to the flesh, I'll explain this, the law of sin comes back into operation. So he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. Now, if people read that and say that, you know, what he really was saying as the deliverance is that I still have the experience of failure, which means that this body of death is still there holding me in captive. But by reason of what Jesus has now done, that even though I fall short and I cannot escape from the body of death and I live a defeated life, however, there is no condemnation again, all right, for this kind of thing, which means that I no longer feel any sense of condemnation. So that liberty is not liberty from sin, but from condemnation from sin. That's what people are teaching, all right? So, yeah, but that's not what he was saying. In fact, when you look at the word condemnation, and you check the root word there, and it's consistent with what he has been saying here, because the cry is, who will deliver me? It's almost like Jesus answered, I said, I cannot, but I cannot make you feel condemned. You get what I'm saying here? All right? Which means, who will deliver me from drowning? And you say, well, you know, you're taking water, but your stomach just will not, you get what I'm saying here? All right, who will deliver me from this? The word condemnation means the consequence, which means, therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It means the consequence of Adam's fall is completely absent from the Christian who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the consequence of the fall of Adam, all that was going on as a result of Adam's fall, Sin entered and death by that. He said all of that has now been, if you look at the life of the Christian who is walking in the Spirit, all that consequence is completely absent from his life. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, which was what he was experiencing. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God now sending his own son, and he didn't say he sent his son in flesh, he said he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. But Jesus did not sin, even though he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. It says, and for sin, condemned sin when he died in our flesh. All right? Which means now we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet it's not us, but Christ that lives on the inside. For the life we now live in this flesh, in the flesh, not in the spirit, in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave himself up for us. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It says, for they, and then he now explains, who are after the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. All right, their minds are preoccupied with the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, their minds are preoccupied with the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, your mind dominated by outward things, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, so we started looking at this last week or 2 weeks, and I will just recap on some things and enter, all right, in some other things today. So Paul here was in this struggle. And what Paul came to realize was, listen, he understood how to now walk in the Spirit. And he said, if I walk in the Spirit, all right, I set my mind. It's by setting my mind on the things of the Spirit there, right? And once I set my mind on the things of the Spirit, I will not fulfill, we saw this, the lust of the flesh. Now in verse 23, we could see that Paul, all right, was trying to get his body to behave in a certain way that was consistent with the dictates and the promptings of God in his heart. But Paul did not know and didn't recognize where the battle really was. And that's why he was a victim to this law, because he didn't know where the warfare really was. All right, he thought the warfare was in his body. So he was trying to use willpower to override his body. That my will wants to do what is right, so I'll use my willpower to overcome the body. But he wasn't touching, all right, what the enemy was doing. He wasn't even going into that space at all. It's the same thing when somebody says, you know, every time I try to do business, you know, I have a law. And this happens also. A law that I will that my business will grow this way. But then I find another law at work in my environment holding me captive. And so what I do is that I want to change, all right, what's going on the outside, but we do not go to where the battle is being fought. That if you win the battle there, then your body will respond to that which you have willed. If you lose the battle there, there is no willpower, all right, that can change the outcome of it. And where was the battle there? He said, but I see in verse 23, chapter 7, another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. In other words, the mind was where the battle was going on. But Paul wasn't playing there at that particular point in time. When he began to play there, he said, now I get it. He said, once you play in this realm, you can eliminate from your life. All right, the consequence of the fall of Adam, death will be abolished and life and immortality, as he said, will be brought into light. That is, the Holy Spirit will make manifest in your mortal flesh. Manifest means make visible in your mortal flesh the very life of Jesus. But he wasn't playing there. He now came to understand, and he said this in 2 Corinthians, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. And he said, I get it now, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He said, that's where it is. He said, that's why those that play that way and in their mind, they get their mind into the things of the Spirit. He said, the body, I just seen this, that the will cannot override what is established in the mind. That it's, you've got to renew your mind, all right, according to that which you have willed. He said, and then the body and the environment will respond, all right, to what is in your own mind. So Paul said there were strongholds in his mind. There were limiting things. There were things that have been embedded inside there in his mind that had to be renewed and removed in order, all right, for the body now to begin, right, to respond, all right, easily to the dictates of the will. And so we saw last week here, looking at this, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we saw that Paul, all right, talked about somebody who was saying, who will deliver me, almost wanting to get out of his body. All right, it's almost like who will deliver me from this body of death. That, you know, life, all right, which means that, I mean, well, the thought could even be that, look, if I'm taken out of this body and I go home to be with the Lord, it's more better, far better than struggling in this body. It wasn't a pleasant experience, the life, because he was being incubated. You know how frustrating it will be. You will something, and it's the same thing with the environment. All right, people say, if I can just get out of this environment, all right, who will deliver me from this nation? And they feel that deliverance from the nation is getting a visa to another, you get what I'm saying here? Who will deliver me from this body of Nigeria? Escape out, which means that's not how deliverance will come, is by understanding the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, in any nation in which you find yourself, the law is producing definite outcomes, predictable outcomes, and you are making giant strides. I want to look at it, this series here, and then we'll complete it next 2 weeks, how these kind of things are done in practice. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll see Paul now saying this. He said in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. So everybody's running. He says, but one receiveth the prize, which means only one person is going to get the gold medal. So run that you may obtain, which means don't just run anyhow, you know, run that you might obtain. And he said, every man that striveth for the mastery. So he's saying you must strive for mastery. All right. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate means shows moderation. The man going for the Olympics monitors what he eats. That's what it means to be temperate in all things. And then he says this, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. He says, but we, all right, we are doing this for an incorruptible crown. So he's talking about what will happen after death. I therefore so run, so not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. So he said, look, then I'm fighting now, not as one. When you beat the air, it means you are just hitting. You don't really know what the target is. Something is hitting at you. Something is confining you. And then you just go, you know, bah, bah. All right, let's just pray and fast to overcome this thing. Bah, bah, bah. Somebody has an addiction. Okay, let's pray and fast to overcome. Bah, bah, bah. Then somebody comes and preaches and says, listen, if you just come forward, you know, we'll pray for you and the addiction will be over. And then you submit yourself. Nothing happens again. Then somebody else comes and says that, you know, if you just jump up 16 times, you know, it will go out. You know, as you don't really know where the enemy is lodged and how to get rid of him. He said, I don't fight as one, all right, as be there, which means I knew exactly where this thing is, which means that if there is an addiction, it's a stronghold in the mind, and I know exactly how to remove the stronghold completely out of my mind. If there's a confinement in my business and there's confinement for growth, I know exactly where that confinement is in my mind. And I will remove the confinement out of my mind, and my mind will accept, all right, the expansion that I will on the inside, and circumstances will play out that exact way. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you this. If we get into this, somebody sent me a mail. He said, Pastor, what you are preaching? He showed me some things. He said, if only people will get it. He comes here, I don't know who he is, but he sent me some documents. He said, if only people will see this, he said, there will be no limits. And I believe people will say it. You get what I'm saying there? All right. Now, let's go on here. So he said, I keep my body under, which means there's a fight, I do, and then I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. That word means my body is now my slave. It's no longer dictating. He says, lest that any means after I've preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. That word disqualified means before even I finished the race, they say I ran out of the ring. You can sit down. All right? So he said to be what? Disqualified. Now, we said, how then, all right, does this happen? A New Living Translation says, I discipline, I like it, my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching others to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul said, I have trained my body. You know, it came to a place where Paul said, I've trained my body. That even my body, having gone through training, has a propensity for righteousness and not for evil. It's like you, somebody who is an athlete, and then he wakes up at 4 a.m. You say, why do you wake up at 4 a.m.? He said, my body has been trained that way. That for about 6 months, I was preparing for the marathon, and I used to wake up at 4 a.m., all right? And I changed my diet. My body adjusted to it. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, you can change your diet another time. Your body adjusts, so you will retrain your body. And it says, wake up. That if I wake up at 6 a.m., you know, I feel bad. So my body itself tells me that something is wrong. I just feel uncomfortable, which means that you have trained your body. And Paul said, I got to a place where I trained my own body, trained it in the line of righteousness. Hebrews 5:14 speaks about this. It said, strong meat belongeth to them who by reason of use, that of full age, who by reason of use, that's practice. All right, someone says mature, who through training, all right, through training, have their senses exercised to discern, all right, between both evil and good. So they train there. I mean, if a person is addicted, it's because his body has been trained, right, in the way of absorbing drugs. Right? A person, he has trained the body and the thing has entered into the system such that if drugs are not in the system that way, then the body by itself begins to react. Now, but maybe 10 years before that, the body wasn't that way. So the body has now gone through some training where, you know, if that thing is no longer there, the body itself breaks into a sweat, begins to react, all right, with withdrawal symptoms and all of that. So the body itself can be trained. You understand what I'm saying? It can be trained there to say that, you know, yielding with the life of Jesus, going into it constantly, and it's been retrained there. Now, how does this training happen for us to get into righteousness? Do we start doing military exercises? You understand what I'm saying here? All right. And running up and down, he said, no. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, it speaks about this. Some folks had come into the churches and they were preaching things. And he said, these things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. All right, there was willpower that was being used there and humility and neglecting of the body, not into the any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, Amplified amplifies it. All right, so if you look at Amplified there, it tells us these things have an outward show. All right, these practices that they were bringing have indeed the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation. Now, keep this here, right? A lot of things we talk in Christianity and particularly in the church is self-humiliation, all right, that we call humility is really self-abasement, where an adult, you know, humiliates themselves in terms of saying that, you know, it's self-humiliation. It's not even honor, all right? It's not what the scripture teaches. It's self-humiliation there, where people have a very low self-esteem. And almost humility is almost a person who demonstrates a lack of confidence, all right? Somebody who has abased themselves. You will see people in church and still you're talking to them and, you know, someone in authority calls them and is saying something and they say they can't hear. And other people can hear. Oh, they say, I can't hear. Eh? I can't. What do you mean you can't hear? This is the distance. The person next to you can hear clearly. You can't hear. You know that something about, you know, that abasement, that, you know, look. And it tells us this. It says it doesn't in any way, it doesn't check the indulgence of the flesh. If lust will run, it will run through the man, even though he's saying, sir. You understand what I'm saying? It's just self-humiliation there.
Thank you for listening.